Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? We're supposed to be. We can be. It's commanded. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5. I'll just read a couple verses here, starting in verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? There in verse number 18, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do need you again here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I pray you'll give me your wisdom, your power, your guidance. Lord, just fill me with your Spirit and use me here today. Lord, give me clarity of thought. Give me your words. Give me your direction, Lord, to speak to your people here today, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, the command to be filled with the Spirit is still God's command to every believer here today. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That very moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came in you. He indwelled you. Romans 8, 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right? You don't have the Spirit. The Bible says you're not saved. That very moment you get saved, you get born again, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got the Holy Spirit. You see, when He indwelt you, you got all of them. And it was a permanent and eternal thing. It wasn't a temporary thing. God, like we saw this morning, God's not going to pluck it out of you. He's not going to take it away from you. At the very moment, God gave us His power, everything you need and I need to live the victorious Christian life. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. There's no excuse. There's no excuse not to be living a victorious life. So are you living the victorious Christian life? Are you? You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, it's not an it. It's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third with the Trinity. He is God. He is in 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Just like God the Father is God, Jesus Christ the Son is God, the Holy Spirit of God is God. He is one God, manifested Himself in three distinct persons. You say, how can that be? Well, God said it. God said it. Hey, we don't have to understand everything, right? Just believe it. Just take God at His Word. Thus saith the Lord. That's it. Just trust Him. Now, just because I have the Holy Spirit of God in me doesn't not mean that I will be filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. Right? That responsibility is going to fall on me. I have the ability to, but do I have the want to? Right? Do I have the drive to? As a Christian, you will be filled with the Spirit only as you're walking in obedience to the Lord. Right? Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time thing. It is a continuous thing. It is a constant thing. It is something that is to be sought after all the time, seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to submit ourselves to the Spirit. Not to submit to this world, not to submit to our flesh, but to submit to His leadership, guidance, and direction and leading in our life. It's basically to surrender to His Lordship. Right, not my will, but thy will be done. But hey, listen, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a lose control of yourself like a person who's drunk on wine. Right? We're not talking about a lose control of yourself person that's knocked down to the floor, that's smitten with uncontrollable shaking. Right? That's some kind of a spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit here that we're talking about, right? The Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Right? I'm not controlled by any other thing other than the Holy Spirit of God. Right? I'm not controlled with alcohol. I'm not controlled with tobacco. I'm not controlled with drugs. I'm not controlled with music or addictive video games or the addictive cell phone. Right? The cell phone's not going to control my life. Okay? Right? I'm not drunk in that. I'm filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:11, the Bible says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And we're not to yoke up with them. We're not to yoke up with the world. We are not to be drunk with wine or anything else. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And when you get a filling of the Spirit, things are going to change in your life. Things are going to change in your life. So today I just want to look at this. Hey, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Number one, I want you to see, if you are filled with the Spirit, Jesus Christ will be real in your life. Jesus will be real in your life. If you turn over to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, we're going to look at this here. Jesus will be real in your life. In John chapter 16, you can look there at verses 13 and 14. Hey, is Jesus real in your life? In John chapter 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Now the Holy Spirit here is called the Spirit of truth. And we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is the shy one, okay? He's the shy one. He doesn't want all the glory. He doesn't want everybody to be worshiping Him. He wants everything to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want to take the glory. He gives the glory to Jesus Christ. And while He does this, He speaks truth. He guides us in truth. He's not going to guide us in false doctrines. He's going to guide us in all truth. And we know the truth is what? The truth is Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." But is Jesus real in your life? Many Christians look at Jesus Christ as that was a long time ago. Right? Jesus lived a long time ago and walked this earth a long time ago. You know, that was 2,000 years ago. And we read about all the things that He did in the Bible, and we say, "Wow, that was great. That was power. Right? That was good. That was great." And most of us here probably have even called on Him to save us, but that's where it stops. That's where it stops, right? That seems to be about it. We have no perception of Jesus as though He's living He's a living presence in our life. Right? We don't live our lives like He is in us, living through us. We do not live our life like we have the very power of God within us. Right? Remember, the Holy Spirit has indwelt us. We have the power of God, but many of us do not live like it. You see, Jesus isn't real in our lives. Right? We do not live like Jesus is real. But let me tell you, we still worship the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. We worship the same Jesus that walked on the water. We worship the same Jesus that calmed the storm. We worship the same Jesus that healed and He did all these things. And we worship the same Jesus that died on that cross, that He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the same Jesus that we worship. We worship the same Jesus that conquered death, that conquered sin, that conquered the grave. He is victorious. So why can we not live a victorious Christian life? Because Jesus isn't real in our life. We have no power. No power because Jesus isn't real in our life. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto ye, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." As a Christian, nothing should be impossible to us. Nothing. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." We have no faith. A mustard seed is the tiniest seed you can find. He said, if you have faith like this, It's tiny. Just a little bit of faith. If you have faith like that, Jesus would be real in our life. If we have faith like that, we would live a victorious life. None of the things in this world would get us down. The election wouldn't get us down. COVID wouldn't get us down. The government wouldn't get us down. The economy wouldn't get us down. All these things that tear down a Christian and close churches get people down. Why? Because Jesus is not real in their lives. You see, God is going to bring storms in our lives. Storms are going to come. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you're not seeking to be filled with the Spirit, if you're seeking the Facebook, if you're seeking the Fox News, if you're seeking the Internet, if you're seeking the cell phones, you're not going to have any power, right? The devil is going to devour you, right? The devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. Who does the devil devour? The weak Christian, the worldly Christian, the one who has spent all their time on the Internet and on the Facebook and all those other things, instead of just getting along with God and reading His Word and praying and seeking God's face and seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus is not real in their life. But when Jesus becomes real in your life, you're going to do all these things. You're going to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're going to seek the Lord. Hey, when is the last time any of us got on our knees and begged God to fill us with the Holy Spirit? When is the last time we begged that God would fill us and use us to witness to lost family members, lost co-workers, lost neighbors? When is the last time you begged for God to do that? I mean, the truth is none of us have any issues about talking about the football game, right? We have no issues about that being a real event in our life, you know. And every Saturday, all these college football stadiums packed out across our country, you know, many of them over 100,000 people screaming, hollering for their favorite team, right? But nobody wants Jesus to be a reality in their life. Christians don't want Jesus to be a real part of your life. What about Jesus? Is He real in your life? Is He real in your life? Hey, look, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to see these other distractions. You're going to be looking up. Your eyes are going to be on Jesus. All these other things that are going on around us, they're not going to bother you. Right? Like the wave, whenever Peter got out of the boat and is walking on the water, right, and a wave hit him or something, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. Right? When we do that, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when Jesus is not real in our life, something comes, you're going to sink like that. Boom. It's going to be quick. And then you're going to be sitting there and you'll be like, oh, preacher, all these things are happening to me. Why is all these things happening to me? Well, have you sought the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you sought the Word of God in your life? Are you looking for Jesus to be real in your life? Is Jesus real in your life? When is the last time you begged Him for the Holy Spirit? You see, Jesus came to proclaim the truth. He is the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us in truth. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." The Scriptures point to Jesus Christ. Every single part of this Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, points to Jesus Christ. You see, the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross. The Old Testament sacrifice pushed all that sin to the cross. Right? We are looking back at the cross. Jesus dying on that cross, shedding His blood on that cross and dying. Right? The Old Testament, Jesus Christ. The New Testament, Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Is Jesus real in your life? He's right there. He's all through the Scriptures. If you want Jesus to be real in your life, you got to get in the Scriptures. You got to know them. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, "That I may know Him." That I may know Him. Right? You got to know Him by getting in His Word. Right? Now, there's a big, huge difference between knowing Him and knowing about Him. I knew about Him for many years. Knew about Him up here, and it wasn't until I was 38 that I knew about Him here. Okay, you know, take Donald Trump, for instance. I know he's in Macon today. Right? I know Donald Trump's in Macon today, and I know about him. I've seen pictures of him. I've heard him speak. I've seen him on TV. I've seen him on the news, but I've never talked to him. I've never had him write me a letter. I've never fellowshiped with Him, but I have, however, met the Lord Jesus Christ. I've met the Lord Jesus Christ, I've talked with Him, and He's written me a great letter. He's written me a great letter, right? Amen. That makes Him a reality to me. Is Jesus a reality to you? Is He real to you? The reality of it is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. He will seek and He will teach us all truth. In John chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Hey, if you've been born again, that Holy Spirit of God is in you. The Holy Spirit of promise is in you. The Holy Spirit of truth is in you. And He will guide you, He will lead you, and He will direct you into all truth. But preacher, I just can't live a victorious Christian life. Get filled with the Spirit. Seek Jesus to be real in your life, and He will direct your path. He will lead you in truth. Let me give you a second thing here. If Jesus is real in your life, you'll have victory over sin. You will have victory over sin. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know we have the Hall of Fame, right? And verse number 25 is talking about Moses, all right? Hebrews 11:25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Hey, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. He could have had and done anything he wanted. He could have enjoyed sin and had all the effects of sin, and he could have just went hog wild, right? But he knew that the pleasures of sin were only temporary. They were temporary. The pleasures of sin, everything that's all the bright lights in the big city, all this sin, it's all temporary. It's temporary. One day it's all going to go up in smoke. It's all going to go up in the flame. It's all temporary. And Moses knew that. You see, nobody has to teach us to sin. You know, at that moment we were born, nobody had to teach us to sin. Right? Our mom or our parents didn't have to teach us to cry when they put us down. Right? We knew just to cry because then they'd come pick us up. Nobody had to teach us to sin. We are all experts on sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Right? "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." There's not a righteous soul in this world. We've all sinned. Sin is our problem. But you know what? Sin always starts right here. It starts with a thought. If you would, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And you know the story. David, over here, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David's sin with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, you see, David should have been off at war. In a time when he should have been in battle, David was at home. He was being lazy. He was lounging around the house, okay? In 2 Samuel 11, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, and but David tarried still in Jerusalem." David was at home. David should have been at war. David should have been in the battle. He was at home. Verse 2, "And it came to pass, in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself." And the woman was very beautiful to look, right? So he was at home where he shouldn't have been. Hey, he wasn't at the bars. He was at home. He wasn't at a sinful place. He was at home, right? But he was at home, but he shouldn't have been at home. He should have been off to battle. He was lazy. He was lounging around the house. And he goes and he looks on this woman, and she's pretty. She's beautiful. And so verse 3 says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. So we know how the story goes, right? Bathsheba becomes pregnant with David's child. And so David, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, had a thought, he looked, he saw, he lusted, he wanted Bathsheba, he took her, and so now he's just snowballing out of sin. And he's going to eventually have Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. Hey, sin is serious. Sin starts with just a thought. Over in James chapter 4, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Hey, if you know you're to do something and you don't do it, that's sin. David knew he should have been at war. He should have been in the battle. He knew it, but he wasn't there, which led to all these different sins, which led to the destruction of his family. Hey, you know you're to be at church and you're not? That is sin. You know you're to witness and you don't? That is sin. You know you're to tithe and you don't? That is sin. You know you're to pray and you don't? That's sin. Hey, look, when you start picking and choosing God's Word, what you want to obey and what you don't want to obey, look out, because you're on a slippery slope. Just like that mic flew off. Right? You're on a slippery slope. You don't know where you're going to end. You don't know how far you can go. David never would have imagined, by not going to battle, by not going to war, just by all of that that would entail of destruction within his life. He never thought about that. He never thought about that. But when you pick and choose what you want to obey, it's a very bad point in your life. God says this. God says that even your prayers have become an abomination to Him. In Proverbs 28:9, He says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Proverbs 28:9. Now you start picking and choosing, you're in a bad place. God says your prayer, not only is it not going to be heard, it's going to be an abomination to the Lord. Hey, we do not have to be overcome with sin. We can't overcome sin. We can't have victory over sin. But hey, are we seeking the Holy Spirit? Are we seeking the filling of the Spirit? Is Jesus real in our life? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, GE Phone Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. GE Phone Company. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. There it is. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that pretty much common sense? Hey, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we have His witness in us, we have His power in us. If we're filled with His Spirit, we're not going to want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's that battle that you have. When you're not filled with the Spirit, this is what happens. You got the flesh, and you got the Spirit battling, right? Battling, constantly battling. It says, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18 says again, but if you be led of the Spirit, right? Be led of the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. Let Him lead you. Be filled with Him. It says, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So he's given a list of the flesh, of all the sins of the flesh. All the sins you'll fall into that you'll commit if you're living in the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Right? There's a whole list of them. All these are works of the flesh. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, a saved person cannot continue in these sins without chastisement, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. If you say you're saved and you've been born again, and you commit these sins over and over again, and no conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you're not His. You're not His. He says right there, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he gets into verse 22, and he's saying, all right, those, you're filled with the Spirit. Right? These are things that filled with the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. Right? This world doesn't give any peace. Jesus Christ is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Spirit gives love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they, get this, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Hey, that's why Paul says, I die daily. I die daily to my flesh. Hey, this is a reality. I have to pick up my cross daily and follow Him. I can't live in the fleshly, in the things of the world, and expect to walk in the Spirit. Right? If my day is filled with the Fox News or the Internet, or if I'm filling all that with my mind all day long, there's no way I could be filled with the Spirit. Remember, they're contrary one to another. They're contrary one to another. And verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Right? That Spirit's a big deal. That Spirit has victory in it. That Spirit is there to claim if we want to have spiritual victory in our lives. Right? But if you're constantly being overcome with sin, then you're not filled with the Spirit. We're not filled with the Spirit. We need to submit to the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 24, the Bible says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Right? The Spirit of truth that abides in us. Some things you need to remember about the Holy Spirit. Right? You're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You need to remember that the Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you go. He sees whatever you see. Whatever you turn on the TV, He sees. Whatever you listen to on the radio, He hears. Whatever places that you attend or go to, He's there with you, right? Are you filled with the Spirit? You can have victory over sin. 1 John chapter 5. Can you flip over there? 1 John chapter 5. Look at verses 4 and 5. You can have victory over sin. The Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You've been born again. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can overcome the world. And he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, this morning we looked at, hey, everlasting life, eternal life, never losing your salvation. Hey, you can have victory over sin, but you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to need the Spirit in that. You're going to need to be filled with the Spirit. The more you're filled with the Spirit, the more He will guide you in all truth. A third one here I had for you is, I know I talked a lot about it this morning, but you have to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's going to give you assurance of salvation. Right? When you're filled with the Spirit, He is going to give you the assurance of salvation. And I mentioned it this morning, but Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Right? One reason we don't want to grieve that Holy Spirit is because He has sealed us to the day of redemption. Right? He sealed us. We have eternal security. Believe in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He gives everlasting life. He gives eternal life. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God has sealed you through the Holy Spirit. Right? Let me give you a fourth thing here. You will have the Spirit of love. Right? If you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are going to have the Spirit of love. Spirit of love. 1 1 John chapter 4, you should be right about there, but look there at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Hey, God is love. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, God is love, you should be filled with the Spirit of love as well. Scroll down to verse number 12 and 13. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Hey, do we really love God? Do you really love God? One way we can measure that is our love. We can measure that with our love. Whether or not you love God, do you love one another? Do we love the brethren? Do we love our neighbors? Do we love other people no matter what, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done to you? If we do love them, this proves that we have God's love. In Matthew 22, verse number 39, Jesus says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In John 13, 35, the Bible says, "But by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Hey, do you love the brethren? We know God by love. You see, when we love God, we accept God, we believe God, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God puts His Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, who speaks only the truth. It's a spirit of love. And when we love Him, we also love one another. And God's love becomes perfected through us. God's love for us to other people, right? In 1 John chapter 3, since we're right there, just go ahead and click back over to 1 John chapter 3. Many people think they can love God and not love other people. Many people think they can love God and not love the brethren. But the Bible is very clear on that. In 1 John chapter 3, look there at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Right? Do you love the brethren? Doesn't matter, well, you don't understand what they did to me, preacher. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? Verse 15 says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's a strong word there. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Do we love the brethren that much? I mean, look around. Do we love our brothers? Do we love our sisters? Many people claim to love God. Oh yeah, I love God. But they don't love the brethren. See, that Holy Spirit of God in us gives us that spirit of love. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it on our own. We have to have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love in us. You see, many people claim that they love God, but they do not treat the brethren with love. Many gossip, many slander, many backbite, many lie, many cheat, but yet they say that they love God. In Proverbs 10:18, the Bible says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." Talking about gossips, right? Those that gossip, he's saying you're a fool. Fools gossip. Don't be gossiping. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Stay away from him. Don't get involved in the gossip. If there's a gossip, somebody's gossiping, don't get involved. Stay away. The Bible says they're fools. It says don't meddle with them. Don't flatter them. Right? Stay away. But now here in verse number 12 of our text here, the Bible says there that the saved are described as dwelling in God. So when we love one another, that proves that God's Spirit is in us. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." No matter what, I love the brethren. No matter what they've done to me, God says we're to love the brethren. I have the Spirit of God in me, the Spirit of love, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. Hey, are you filled with the Spirit? That's all we're doing. We're asking a simple question. Are you filled with the Spirit? If you do, you will have love for the brethren. Let me give you one last thing here. If you're filled with the Spirit, you will have the power to witness. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, you will have the power to witness. Matthew 28, verse number 19 and 20. Jesus' last words we're going to look at here. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Teach them what? Teach them all things. Teach them how to be saved. Teach them how to get eternal life. And then you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now turn over to Mark chapter 16. Jesus says, "Go. Go ye therefore. Preach the gospel. Teach them. Show them how to be saved." Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15. You will have power to witness when you're filled with the Spirit. Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you won't have this verse in your Bible. So I trust you all have a King James Bible here. Amen. Mark 16, 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Right? Go ye into all the world, everywhere. Right? Gilead Baptist Church, Macon is our area. We're to go and preach the gospel to Macon, the surrounding areas. We can't go to all the places in the world, but that's why we have missionaries. Right? That's why we have missionaries that can go to all those other places. And then turn to Acts chapter 1. He says, "Go, preach the gospel." In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, if you're filled with the Spirit, you will have the power to witness. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power." What kind of power? The Holy Spirit power. Right? The Holy Spirit power. That's the power you need to go witness. That's the power you need to go knock doors. That's the power you need to be a missionary. That's the power you need to preach the gospel. You can't have your power. You can't have anything about your flesh. This is spiritual. Right? You've got to have God's power. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to witness. He says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Hey, you got to have His power. They were in the upper room praying in one accord. All right, they weren't going out till they had that Holy Spirit power upon them. And we know that they go out and Peter preaches a message and 3,000 souls get saved. Why? Because Peter was a good preacher. No! Because of the Holy Spirit power had indwelt him and he did the work. What? Nothing about Peter or any of the other men. Nothing. It's the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, look, these here were the last words of Jesus Christ before he ascended up into heaven. We are commanded to go and spread the gospel, to teach the gospel, to preach the gospel. And my point is, it's not an option. It is a command. It's not an option. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for those that are missionaries. It's not just for those who are on staff at churches. No, it's for everybody who's been born again. If you're a Christian, we're to go, right? I mean, think about it. Do you have any lost family members? Do you want to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get born? Do you want to see them in heaven? You got to pray the Lord will fill you with His Spirit so you can witness to them. You see, our mission is to go to a lost and dying world and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give them the gospel. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls is wise. In Jude, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Right? So when you go and you give somebody the gospel and you lead somebody to the Lord, you're literally pulling them out of the fire. You're pulling them out of the fire, the torments and the depths of hell and the pits of the fire of eternal torment and eternal flame. You're pulling them out of that. I mean, do you want anybody to go there? No, don't want anybody to go there. If our house was on fire, your kids were inside, your family members were inside that house, would you just stand by and say, "Well, I'm too busy today, right? I can't help. I'm busy with work. I'm busy with this," right? As the house is burned with family members in the house, would we just turn a blind eye to that? I don't think we would, right? We wouldn't, right? But all around Macon, Georgia, there are people dropping into hell, burning one by one, right? One by one, going off into hell. What are we doing about it? We have the command. We're to go. We're to go, right? Our neighbors, our co-workers, our family, right? What are we doing about it? Mark 9:44 says, "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Right? We know what's going to happen when somebody dies and goes to hell. But they're all around us and time is running out. Time is of the essence. The Lord Jesus Christ could come back right now. And you know the one thing none of us are going to be doing in heaven? None of us are going to be winning souls. None of us are going to get to lead somebody to the Lord. None of us are going to go soul winning in heaven. So we got to do it now. We got to do it now. So as I close here today, hey, are you filled with the Spirit? Simple question, right? Are we filled with the Spirit? Hey, is Jesus real in your life? Is Jesus real in your life? Do you have victory over sin? Or does sin have victory over you? Do you have victory over sin? Do you have that assurance of your salvation? Do you have the spirit of love? Love for the brethren. Do you have that? Do you have the power in your witness? Hey, are you filled with the Spirit or are you filled with the flesh and the world? Do you live your life in the Spirit or do you live your life in the flesh? Do you live your life in the flesh? If we do, we don't have spiritual victory. Are you living a victorious Christian life? Simple questions, but what is your answer? What are your answers? If our answers aren't very good, if we don't have good answers, if we're struggling in those areas, we need to seek the Lord and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't do it in our own power. We need His power. His power will overcome the world. His power will overcome sin and everything else. Let me ask you this. Have you yielded your life to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Hey, you can. You can do that here today. Hey, if you've never been born again, you got to do that first. You got to be born again, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But once you've done that, you've got the Holy Spirit of God indwelt in you. You have His power. Are you living a victorious life? Are you filled with the Spirit? Let's pray.